My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Best Quality Vacuum, the Duck Feed show about Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, and a little bit of El Camino right there in the middle.
This week we're talking about Problem Dog, which was written and directed by Peter Gould. And it originally aired on August the 28th of 2011.
Yeah, I think this is a really good episode of this show. Like, I watching it, it has a bunch of very iconic scenes in it that I remembered and loved. Mm-hmm. And everything. It's got a little bit of that Peter Gould, like there's a heightened reality to Peter Gould episodes that, like, once you notice it, it's hard to not notice, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know.
It's also got a really good emotional core to it. We finally get some catharsis from Jesse.
Yeah. It's a great Jesse episode. And I have a huge soft spot for Jesse.
Yeah.
Generally, so Walt continues to kind of spiral here. You know, Skyler is onto him and he presses Jesse into conspiring for his murder. He says it's going to be on the murder and it's going to murder Jess.
Yes. I wanted to be very specific. It wasn't like he's committing suicide by hitman here. He's pressing Jesse.
We're murdering Skyler or something.
Murder
like that.
Gus.
Like we didn't buy a bootleg copy of Breaking Bad where they change, you know, it's the second half of the series is produced, amateurly. Even though homemade Breaking Bad, like Be Kind, Rewind Breaking Bad is a great idea.
Oh, that is
it's
very
kind of
good
metastasis,
idea.
But like even lower budget.
Yes, please. We have to. Jesse, despite being wrapped up in murder plots, is also continuing to shadow Mike. And the conflict with the cartel is heating up. He goes to this meeting with a representative from the cartel. Doesn't go as expected.
Yeah, that representative is the Salamanca we don't talk about. That guy doesn't really get named in things. He's a Salamanca guy, though.
Is he a Salamanca? He gets a name. He's Gaff. Is the name. We saw him before. Yeah,
he shows up a couple times. He's this weird like mid tier Salamanca. He dies during Salud. But there's this weird extra Salamanca who's not a super villain.
Yeah.
Who's not like a Thomas Harris novel villain, somehow. And it's this guy.
Yeah.
We also, Hank's on the trail. His investigation into Gus continues. The episode ends with him making a Columbo, speech.
Yep.
At that to get the DEA to pursue Poyos as a target for the Blue Meth case. Really, you know, fun scene as well.
Yeah.
It's a stake-sitting episode, but I feel like everything is ramping up to a very delicious boil at this point, as opposed to just kind of like a what they call a rolling boil. This is more of a like, that's going to go. That's going to boil over. Fuck. You know, cannot go to the bathroom during this boil.
No. Do not take your eyes off of this pot. It is in the process of boiling. Put a wooden spoon on top of it. That stops it from going over. A little pro tip there. Yeah. Not huge high flying action stakes in this, but we are edging into, I mean, what is it? Next episode where Gus, you know, Jesus Christ walks into sniper fire.
That's so good. Yeah. I fucking love that moment. We are getting some really great, you know, somebody who is not above things being badass. We're getting into some cool badass shit.
Kind of like, you know, we're human.
Yeah. I like that kind of stuff, even though, you know, you're not supposed to. Saw Furiosa over the weekend. Fucking
okay.
Like, I want to see badass shit.
Yeah, show me cool shit.
That also dates this episode. We're so far ahead on this show because we're got Shadow of the Urchin coming up. Which also dates this episode. Like, you're gonna hear this in like 2 months.
Yeah. Talking
about Shadow of the Earth Tree.
It is 2:12 Eastern time on Tuesday, January or June the 11th. January.
I wish it was January 11th. Yeah. We cryogenically froze this show in advance. I can't wait to hear the results of the Hunter Biden trial personally. that came out today. There's not a whole lot of trivia for this one. There's a little bit with the cold open, which I think is the worst part of the episode for me. We'll talk about that. What nice little detail, though. One of Walt's chemistry students, Ben, is in the rehab meeting.
Yeah.
So something's wrong with how Walt teaches.
How many
of his students are into meth.
Yeah. You know. He is the guy. He's the kid who says, will this be on the murder?
The murder? Yeah. I think that I'm not going to try to say he deserved to get into a life of meth, you know, but that was a bad line. Like, I'm glad this kid had a downfall. It was the writer's fault, but I don't know. That shit sucked.
He deserved what happened to him because of something Walt imagined.
Yes. Okay. I because something the writers did to him. It's a Grant Morrison concept.
Okay.
The writers made his life horrible.
you mentioned trivia and that cold open in the teaser here, and let's get into it, because this is one of the times when Breaking Bad edges into our turf.
Yeah. Video games and Breaking Bad. Mm-hmm. Jesse's in his house. It's still not cleaned up. We're going to see it get cleaned up later. Playing the video game Rage from id. This is something that I will get on the WoW schedule, I fucking promise.
You've been promising that for like a decade now.
I know, but it's really interesting. Like, it's the wrong length. It's like 16 hours. It's the wrong length. Yeah. But maybe next year. But he is playing a weird version of it with a light gun.
Yeah.
And in a move I feel like is beneath the show, they start showing flashes of Gale's face when he shoots.
Yes.
Like, he's seeing Gale in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually strictly have PTSD, so I don't know if that's accurate, but every time it's portrayed this way, it feels intolerably goofy to me.
Yeah.
That could be a Gary problem as well. Like, I don't know though. It seems really silly to me. And just like, of course shooting in the video game reminds him of the actual murder he did.
Yeah.
And then there's all these little like touches with it, like the way the scene ends as well.
It's a little bit, there are probably better ways to show that he is still in the process of punishing himself, even if it is manifesting beyond I am trying to drown this out with by poisoning my house, basically.
Yeah, poisoning my house and my body. Like, he's getting his body clean now. You mm-hmm. know, he's clean, he's off the crystal for now, but he is, I don't know. It's he's still struggling, which we know, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it feels a little bit like it's trying to show it in a poetic way.
Yeah.
That feels a little hat in a hat to me, but then also comes off as kind of laughable, which I don't think is intentional.
Here's what it is. It feels a lot like whenever like an NCIS or a CSI starts to include a video game thing in it. It is a little bit of a CBS understanding of how video games work.
And it touches with not to like border into gamer rights shit, but mm-hmm. it touches into the idea of like murdering in a video game will remind you of murder in real life.
Yeah.
Which simply isn't true for most people. I think I'm not going to say that nobody has that experience. Like, there are people who are certainly sensitive to that, but like that's an old wives' tale. Like that is so far from how I and everyone I know experiences video games. You know, like Jesse understands the difference between fantasy and reality.
He's
struggling, but he's not a child.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a baby.
The only thing that stops me from, you know, crying about Jack Thompson shit or whatever, pulling out my Penny Arcade strips from 2004, yes. is the fact that, like, yes, playing a video game does not incline you to murder. No, these two things are not the same way. But if you have murdered somebody, I do not know what reenacting that in a game will do to you if you are in an especially fragile state. Yeah. I do not actually know that. Like,
I don't either. I suppose, but I feel like also Peter Gould doesn't know that.
Yeah,
you know, and it's also Jesse chooses what video games he plays.
Yes,
like I liked him playing Sonic Racing. Mm-hmm. Before, because that's about as far from murdering Gale. Like, you don't murder Gale 1 in that game,
no,
as far as I know.
No.
I would have bought it if you did. But the
I can understand it as Jesse punishing himself, you know, especially with the way that this ends. You know, it's over the quit option, selects restart to go back in for more, right? Like, I
didn't read
that
as him going back. I didn't read that as him punishing himself at all.
Oh.
I read that as him choosing to, because this is also where he is. He's on this arc of deciding to care again.
Mm-hmm.
Like I assume I read that as restart, you know, life.
Yeah.
You know, get back into it, because he's now, you know, Gus believes in me. I'm doing something. I and then he starts cleaning up his house immediately afterwards.
Yeah.
Like I read it that way.
Okay. I didn't think of it that way. I just read it as like he is keeping himself in this loop until he has the catharsis at the meeting, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You could see it multiple ways, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Rage isn't a light gun game.
No.
And it wasn't out at the time this came out. To its credit, it's not like, you know, brought to you by id, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, Jesse's not doing that kind of shit. But they did make, the id Software people worked on a specific version of this to make gameplay footage that would work with the light gun.
Yeah. Kind
of thing. It's very funny that they had to do that because Rage is a game about guys running up to you and you shooting them in the head. That's basically what you do. It feels strange that they had to create very specific gameplay footage for that.
I mean, I guess they had to make it look like a real shooter, you know?
Yeah. It's, it doesn't not feel that much like a real, like it kind of feels a little bit like a real shooter. You know, it's an FPS. You click on heads kind of but thing.
They also did stuff like they put Gale backwards and graffiti in there. Yeah. They're like Easter eggs kind of baked into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rage would go on to include a bunch of Breaking Bad Easter eggs, something that might be fun to do. I went on a search for an article about this. Maybe there is something. Mostly it's a bunch of YouTube videos, but like Breaking Bad has had a lot of Easter eggs in video games.
Yeah,
I would like to take a look at that.
Yeah. For Watch Out Firewalls, which has a Walter White in it, you know, made gray, like his last name. Like it's very explicit.
Yeah.
Through there. Yeah. So he dies eventually. For this, and he hovers his cursor over quit and then selects restart up to, you know, honorable. People can differ on what that means.
Yes.
After this, I'm into everything in this episode. This is the only part I don't like.
Yeah. We get another patented Walter White tantrum here.
Yep.
Because the car that Walt bought for Junior last episode, it's got to go back. It is a direct threat to the story, right?
Yep. Yep. She's worked out a deal. She's done all the legwork, right? Mm-hmm. It's like Mike being like, I haven't slept since Sunday cleaning up your messes, Walt. I need my sleep. You know, convincing them to take it back. They're just, they talked him down to a restocking fee. Mm-hmm. And you're going to take it back, Walt. You know, talk to Glenn, you know, like he's the person I talk to. And he's Glenn, like fucking Glenn.
I have to interact with like fucking Glenn.
I'm a crime pin, you know, like a crime lord kingpin. Crime pin isn't a thing. And she's like, don't do anything. Don't tangle with anybody. You don't need to fucking make this a thing. And he's like, don't make it a thing, won't I? And makes it the biggest thing in the world. This is that heightened reality of, you know, I feel like a Peter Gould.
Yes.
Happening.
Yeah. So instead of taking the car directly to the dealership, Walt decides, you know, earlier he said like, oh, it doesn't even have 17 miles on the odometer, right?
Yeah.
Like, well, if I'm going to, you know, if I'm going to be eating this cost or whatever, I might as well take a little tread off the tires. Yeah. Yeah.
And an obvious parallel to Jesse go-karting.
Yes.
Alone. Yeah.
Yeah. In that both of them have led to that amazing Mario Kart Breaking Bad video.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He takes the Challenger out to this huge empty parking lot near the airport, and he's ripping mad donuts in this thing. Yep.
Burning rubber.
You ever been in a car doing a donut?
Sure.
Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah.
My dad used to take us to go do donuts. In a mall parking lot.
My appetite for spinning.
Yeah.
Has gone down a lot.
Yes.
I don't like to spin as, like, when you're a kid, spinning is like basically the greatest thing you can do, so much that like kids will just stand and hold their arms out and just do it.
Municipal infrastructure is invested in and built up to spin kids around.
To spin children. Like, children really like it. Most rides are just spinning children, most playground equipment. Mm-hmm. Like, every playground has a child spinner, and children will spin themselves as well. And I just got to a certain point where I'm like, yeah, I don't spin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not as fun for me. I feel like I get it.
Yeah.
You know, but also Walt's having a hard time. You know, maybe this is a nostalgic exercise. This is, I would go home and play Super Mario World in this scenario, but I would do it and then set the cart on fire at the end. I'd blow up my Super Nintendo and walk away. he goes over a bump. He does a bad donut, and the car is stuck on a ledge, and he's going to call for help. And he's like, you know what? Fuck this shit. Pulls out the car's information sheet out of the glove compartment, rolls it up, puts in the gas tank, and creates like a Molotov cocktail, and walks away.
I believe you mean a Molotov cocktail.
There we go. Yes. And you know, calls for a taxi pickup, and he's real confident about this.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, yeah, I need a taxi. No, I'm sure he'll see me as the car explodes in front of him.
Mm-hmm. I appreciated the restraint in not having it explode when he's walking away.
Yeah.
It's not
kind of surprising.
Yeah. But, So shortly after this, we're in Saul's office, and Saul's on the phone with the prosecutor, getting real chummy with folks, mm-hmm. you know, talking about seeing them on the golf course a little bit later. This is post Friend of the Cartel era. He's talked them down from destruction of property to illegal trash burning.
I love illegal trash burning. That's so funny.
Since it was your property.
Yeah. So he has to do all these things. He has to repave the blacktop and everything. The whole thing's going to cost $52,000. Mm-hmm. And he's out the money for the car.
Yes.
And Walt's real sulky about this. Saul says, hey, how about an attaboy?
Mm-hmm.
And he's not having it. He's like, oh, you're still upset about Walt. Or you're still upset about Gus, rather.
Yeah.
And he's trying to solve it, Walt brings up the idea of a third party.
Yeah.
Let's ditch the euphemisms. You mean a hitman?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if that's what they call him, and Saul freaks out.
Yeah.
a bit of
a cringy line here.
Bzz, yeah.
Wrong answer. That's what the kids call epic fail.
It felt like a Saul line to me. It's super cringy, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're not mutually exclusive. It's just in 2011, this felt fine.
Yes.
Here in 2024.
Now you'd say a skibbity fail.
It is.
it'd be a rizzed up Ohio skibbity fail.
Is Ohio the slang now?
Yeah. Ohio is part of the Zoomer slang.
Okay.
They just say Ohio at the end of words or sentences.
Huh.
Yeah.
Weird.
Weird.
I honestly do not know if I believe you, but I'm not going to make an issue of it.
Okay. Well, look it up.
Okay.
You can go consult your local library.
Okay.
Walt kind of presses him, and Saul says, listen, I maybe know a couple guys, west of Colorado who could do this, but they're still gonna have to tangle with Mike. And how do you think I know them? who do you think introduced me to hitmen?
Yeah.
It was Mike.
He's got Caldera's notebook, but Caldera had trouble finding hitmen, right?
Yes.
Yeah. No. So you can tell him on my Better Call Saul rewatch.
Oh yeah. 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 Cause you remember the name of the vet.
I did. Yeah.
You pulled the vet. So,
we could go third party, put out a listing in Craigslist or Soldier of Fortune, but if we don't pull a Dale Gribble, they also would have to go through Mike, right? Yep. Like, this isn't, you don't bring a scrub character to this endgame boss.
Yes. Yeah. Walt says, I would do it myself. I just can't get near him. And Saul says, what about your partner?
Mm-hmm.
We cut over to Jesse repainting the inside of his house. Yeah. He's repairing. He's cleaning up a little bit. Yeah. Is how I read this.
I take issue with his painting technique here. His roller's all over the place. He's not doing the spreading with the W and then going up and down. Mm.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't. He's a recovering meth addict.
Okay.
And he's also a murderer, and he thinks that he's going to die.
Okay.
Soon at any given moment.
So he's not worried about leaving streaks. Okay.
No, this is not. He's not home pilled at this point.
Okay.
Yeah. It's also a major improvement from like all of the junky urine that he's painting over. Like any amount of paint over, just literally meth cum staining the walls is probably better.
Do you think it makes the cum blue?
That's a great question.
Let's consult the lore Bible.
That'd be a really fun detail.
Otherwise, what's all this for?
We should get the Breaking Bad TTRPG and see if it has that detail. If not, we should home rule that shit. Anything meth you do, it should change your urine to a different color that all have a different effect on Superman. like the different kryptonites.
God.
See, pissing in Superman, pissing on Superman number 433, True Believers.
So Walt is upset that, Jesse saw Gus, but didn't tell him, and he had to find out about it from, the lawyer.
Yeah. And Walt says, give me all the details. And Jesse is a little evasive, but says, Gus saw me. He said something, what did he say exactly? He says, he sees something into me. Mm-hmm. And Walt at this point starts undermining him again, a little bit less aggressively. This is this is a little bit more subtle than it's all about me.
Yes.
He's just saying like, this doesn't make any sense. And then he starts playing the sell, and he brings up points that are good. He's being an asshole.
Yeah.
But he brings up points. He's good. Like, does he really think you're this naive? Did he think you'd forget about Gail and Victor, about Brock, all these things that are legitimate reasons why Jesse would not trust Gus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he went to go kill Gus's dealers very recently,
mm-hmm.
you know, but Walt is overselling it. You know, Gus can't possibly think you'd be that stupid to forget that. You know, I don't think you're that stupid, but I need you to do this.
Yeah.
You know, so I need to manipulate you into what I'm doing. Walt is getting, as the series goes on, Walt is getting worse at this shit. Like we talked mm-hmm. about people building up their immunities.
Yes.
He's also getting more obvious about it as he gets more desperate.
Yes.
And season five, one of the things I love about season five of the show is he's awful at it. Mm-hmm. He thinks he's doing it great in every situation, but he's exclusively dealing with extremely self-interested parties mm-hmm. like Jack and Lydia.
Yep.
And they're just going along with him because they would anyway. Like he still thinks he's getting the W's, but he's not a master manipulator. He's just surrounded himself with people with no morals who want, you know, are ultimately out for any gain.
Yeah.
You know, he becomes a beneficial idiot to them until he's not, you know, and that's the ultimate fuck around find out for him.
Yeah. You know, he's on different rhetorical turf, right?
Yes.
Like this might work in a gray, world, where it's, just morally ambiguous normies at the end of the day, not in the full, pure black world tendency. Right? Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jess finally gives in. Jesse, sorry. His friends call him Jess. Jesse finally gives in saying like, okay, enough, I'll kill him the first chance I get.
Yeah. Stop doing the hard sell. So Marie is at the car wash. We cut to there, criticizing the air fresheners, being Marie, telling Skylar to have a huge opening with the bounce house and shit. And Skylar changes the subject because this is just Marie and out, says, how's Hank? And Marie says, he's like a lot better. He's perked up. This is what he's talking about when he's saying how Walt kind of saves Hank before he gets him killed.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a maniac with his PT. He's doing great. He's got spark again. Yeah. And Walt comes in with his hand truck full of soda.
And they go back into the office and this, hand truck full of soda is actually full of cash, in the middle of it. And he's concealing $274,000, give or take. And this is the first time Skylar is physically seeing what she has signed up for in terms of money laundering. This is paid in cash and they have to turn these large bills, these stacks and stacks of bills into car wash revenue.
Yep.
And this amount comes in, to every 2 weeks to a total of $7.5 million per year. No car wash on earth does that amount of business.
That's a lot of money. This 2 weeks of thing would be 9 months of laundering.
Mm-hmm.
If they had a great 9 months at the car wash. Walt says, just stash what you can't save. And she's still distracted because they're all $50 bills. And I like this little bit with Walt where he says, I didn't ask you to do this. I was under the impression you would handle this.
Mm-hmm.
If you want out, just say so.
Yeah.
And she doesn't. Like the way I interpret this is both like, somebody has to protect this family from the person who protects this family.
Mm-hmm.
She needs to keep an eye on it. But also there's still, I think, an element of enjoying the idea of $274,000 every 2 weeks.
Yeah. She wants to at least,
she's only human. Like
she wants to at least see if this is going to work, if she can make it happen. Right.
Yeah. She's already done the time. She may as well do the crime. Right. Like she's already been through so much trauma for this.
Yeah. I don't think she gets out until, what happens with Ted, but definitely when she learns about Gus. Right.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
That is when it's a bridge too far for her. She gives him a look and he goes, okay, like you handle it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Walt's alone at the lab and he's found a blind spot. Yeah, the camera's following him around, but it does not have
coverage. They don't watch him change.
Yeah,
it's over in the little locker room, kind of back area. There's the public locker room and there's like the changing space that they have back there. It's great that, Tyrus isn't just sitting down there watching them strip down to their tidy whities, even though I'm sure Bryan Cranston would love that.
Yes. He goes back into this side room and puts on full protective gear and pulls a dish out of a toaster oven. This is the ricin. We cut to Jesse's house and he's examining a vial of the ricin, being really uncertain about it. You made this in the lab? It's like, it's a little bit poetic, isn't it? Kind of seems risky.
He's very proud of that. Yeah. he's a little proud of that touch. He's like, listen, it's not very much. You just have to put any amount in Gus's food or drink. He works really hard. Everyone will believe he just had a heart attack or just kind of failed. Yes. You know, his body just failed. Jesse asks, what about Mike? And Walt's like, you know, whatever. What if they search me? I love Walt being like, will they? You know, at this point. And then Jesse has the idea of creating the rice and cigarette. The greatest, like, it's not quite a MacGuffin because it actually does stuff. But in terms of being online a little bit when this came out, what's going on with the cigarette?
God,
became a real thing.
So many people, I got really annoyed at this. Like, yes, they are definitely, you know, trying to hint that this is a live grenade rolling around, you know, but like people were getting really just extra with it, talking about like, you know, what if the vial is under Holly's hat? Right. Yeah. You know, put the vial inside of the eyeball from the teddy bear. Come on.
Yeah. Make us swallow it.
Yeah.
He loves eating eyes. It also introduced the pretty silly phrase rice and cigarette in, so that has meaning. Like, yeah, we don't actually have any ground to make fun of Skibbity Ohio Brizzed Up.
Right.
When we're walking around being like rice and cigarette, we know exactly what that fucking means.
Uh-huh.
Like, it sounds like a horrible dish you'd order at like a discredited Asian place.
Yes.
Like it just, yeah.
you cook up rice and cigarette and Arctic eggs.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So he puts it in his, he empties out a cigarette, puts it in there and flips it around.
Yeah.
This is the lucky cigarette superstition that some smokers have.
No.
The last one you smoke is flipped around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, oh, well, whatever you do, don't smoke it. Also started annoying conversations about whether, about whether smoking that would poison you. I don't care.
And making it seem like that's what how it's going to happen. Like it's foreshadowing when it's not just trying to show you how dangerous it is.
Yeah.
So Junior has taken Hank to Pollos Hermanos.
Yes.
Hank is walking. Now he's got a walker, but he's walking on his own. It's going to take him a little bit. You know, it's real cute. Like, ain't we a pair?
Yeah. Yeah.
Getting in there. And Junior is bonding with his uncle because his parents just took his toy away.
Yeah.
You know,
giving him the play-by-play, you know, just, I had this sweet Dodge Challenger for like 15 hours. Right.
Yes.
And Hank very sweetly, you know, saying like, hey, man, you know, a lot of people don't get to drive a car that cool for 15 minutes. You know?
Yeah. I would have given him my left nut. You know, you flew too close to the sun doing this. You know, he says, why would Walt buy that? And Junior says, you know, I laid a guilt trip on him. Hank doesn't know exactly what the guilt was about, you know, in this. You know, you flew too close to the sun. You could have been driving right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Gus comes over. Greens Hank, you know, hey, you're doing well. I'm really happy to see it. And Hank says, chalk it up to clean living and vitamin pills, his little catchphrase for this episode.
I like that. I like that this recurs because anytime you are in a situation like that, like, you know, just, okay, here's this. You do have those little phrases that you use because people ask the same question over and over.
He's probably sick of saying, well, it was hundreds of hours of absolutely miserable physical therapy.
Yes.
I wanted to die many times. I shit in a bag for a long time. It was the worst time of my life. It almost broke up my marriage.
Yes.
Like, you don't want to say that. So you just say that all that stuff is inside one of the pills implied.
Yes. And you know, Gus says, well, you know, I'm sorry I didn't catch you before you checked out because there'd be no question about me accepting your money. You know, like a DEA hero like this, you know, eats for free at Pollos. You know, just Gus being a real, you know, outwardly a real sweetheart here, and, you know, even offering Junior a job,
a asking about his parents.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a rewarding part-time job,
Gus treats the Pollos employees really well. This might not actually be bad, but I mean, can you imagine how Walt would react?
It'd be very funny.
Yeah.
It'd be great as a thing. It would also be, in retrospect, I don't necessarily think Gus is doing this. It could be a mask thing.
Yeah.
But imagine what kind of leverage this puts over Walt.
Yeah.
If Junior did work there, right? Like this, I don't necessarily think this is, you know, 3D chess or 4D chess, but it would work really well as that.
I mean, there's a definite menace to this because it is Gus addressing, you know, a minor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who he loves to kill. So Gus offers Hank a refill on his drink and Hank takes him up on that. And then we cut immediately to the parking lot with him dumping out the drink. Hank seems like everything's fine, but he's on the job. Hank is at his best when he's got purpose.
Yes.
You know, and this is him being crafty.
He's bagging and tagging it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's another thing I love about season 5 is the Hank Walt stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I love seeing Hank, like Detective Hank.
Yes.
Is really fun.
Yeah. Yeah, he wants the fingerprints, and he's got them. And we're going to see this come together in the Columbo bit at the very end of this.
Yeah. So Mike is driving Jesse out to the chicken farm. You know, Jesse says, what are we doing? And Mike says, you know, the order of the day is eyes open, mouth shut. and this is fucking serious.
Yeah.
There are tons of guys in black with earpieces everywhere for a chicken farm.
What a sight. Like, they're right by the freeway. So you could just, like, look out and see a Secret Service detail at this random chicken farm.
Yeah. You know, Jesse has to carry the veggie plate in, the traditional veggie plate. Gus tells him to leave the wrap on, please.
Yes.
Gus knows this will not be eaten.
And Gus, you know, he needs hands in here, asks Jesse to make the coffee. You know, do you know how to make, you know how to make coffee? You know, please, please do so. And we get dramatic music as Jesse pulls out his cigarettes and thinks about how he's going to approach this. He was preparing drink, you know, for these people, but he's interrupted. Mike is handing him a gun for the first time, you know, saying, hey, if you're going to be on this job, you need this. I don't want to see that in your hand unless you see my gun in mine.
Yeah. This great little bit, you know, he agreed to do the deed, and this great little bit of trust put it in, kind of pulls him back, this conflict that he has.
Yeah.
The cartel SUV pulls up, and it's only one of the people there, this guy Gaff. And he's one of the guys who hit one of the Poyos trucks.
Yes.
Everyone's expecting him to have a crew with him, and he doesn't.
No.
I thought my employers thought that I could convey our, you know, our demands. Gus lays out his offer. He wants independence. You know, in deference to our old relationship, I'll give you a one-time payment of $50 million. In return, our business is concluded.
Yes.
We never talk to each other again.
No.
Like, you know, I am north of the border. I'm the meth guy for this.
And this is a complete non-starter for Gaff. You know, and he's just sitting there. You know, Gus kind of, you know, breaks the silence and asks for a response. And his response is, you know, a question, yes or no. They don't say directly what it is, but, you know, like, you know what we want, yes or no. You know, do we get Heisenberg or not? And this is no negotiation at all. If those are the terms.
Yeah. Like that's a hard place to start a negotiation. He goes, this is not a negotiation.
Yeah.
You know, the meeting ends. Jesse grabs the gun in his pocket because it's very tense. You know, Gus comes out ready to shoot Gus as well. You know, but he's surrounded. This is when he die. Mike's right there. Right?
He needs to save the shooting through the pocket trick for later.
Yes. Yeah. and also just like, what a horrible time.
Oh, yeah. Right?
No. he's surrounded by guys with guns.
Yes.
You know, in the car, Mike asks for the gun back and he says, I figure I better teach you how to shoot. Things are going to get hairy. Again, Jesse looking for this father figure. Right?
Yes.
Like, Mike empowers him. He doesn't use him. He doesn't try to manipulate him. He's just like, no, you know, you can, it's not like he thinks that Jesse is a Superman. He's just like, yeah, you can use a gun, shoot a gun, you know, and this is useful. I'm practical.
Yes.
You know,
and Jesse, you know, asked for another opinion, right? He told Walt at the beginning of the episode, you know, oh, he sees something, Gus sees something in me. At least that's what he says. And he got a self-interested answer from Walt. So he tries it again, asks Mike here, you know, like, okay, you know, so like, what does he mean by he sees something in me? And Mike's, you know, best guess is he sees loyalty.
Yep.
You know, although maybe you've got it for the wrong guy, which is true from a stability standpoint.
Yeah. No. You know, and we don't, I think this is Mike probably being genuine. We have not seen a scene where Gus lets Mike in on the purpose and specific details of his plan. We have the scene where Gus says, you know, it worked like a charm. Kid thinks he's a hero, but he doesn't know about Gus's long game. This, you know, his potential. I don't think
I mean,
he could, you know, that might've happened off screen, but I feel like this is Mike being genuine.
Yeah. This is Mike being genuine. Because he fucking hates Walt.
Yeah.
Walt is nothing but unpredictability, right?
Yep.
Like you said, when they were casing the meth house, you know, I do not like unpredictable. And, you know, though it was a process for Mike to get to this point where he was, you know, working with Gus, he has made a lot of money and gotten a lot of stability from working with Gus. Mike,
the stability is
loyal.
Is huge.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you look at the, you're talking about the Better Call Saul rewatch. I love the way the finale of that puts our characters, where it puts our characters, and specifically where it puts Mike. Like at the end of that series, Mike is challenged on this idea that he now has stability and it is in, he's trading moral crapulence.
Yes.
You know, he's called out, like, you can't actually think you're a good person doing right. this just because you're the best of these horrible people, mm-hmm. you know, because you're a professional. This is Mike years later who has, that has been worn down mm-hmm. in him. Like, he ultimately gets punished for all of his stuff. You can look at his end in this series and his beginning in that series and see just a very slow mm-hmm. punishment for his thing. Like, nobody gets away
no.
with being involved in this bullshit, mm-hmm. you know, in this show.
Yeah.
It's really good stuff.
Yeah. And I do not see him saying, you know, although maybe you've got it for, you know, for the wrong guy. Like, that's not something that Gus put him up to saying.
No,
in my mind.
That's what I mean by genuine.
Yeah.
I don't think this is strategic. It's one of those shows where you have to pull everything through that filter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cause it, you know, it's got subtext. Like, there are people playing games against each other, and mm-hmm. manipulation is a major theme.
Yes.
In this show.
And Mike really isn't a manipulator like that.
No.
He is an operator. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Then we get the marquee scene of the episode here. Jesse is smoking outside of the Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and the counselor guy comes out and mm-hmm. greets him and says, "Hey, you know, you coming?"
Yeah. Full mustache on him now on this yep. actor.
Yeah. No.
And we cut inside to the counselor giving this speech, you know, giving this advice saying, you know, you're not able to change the past, you know, and all that being so hard on yourself does is make you relapse. If you think you're worthless, then you will not, you know, take care of yourself. And that's just going to happen over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, and with this sermon over, he singles out Jesse. You know, just asking, hey, what's new? It's been a while since we've seen you. You know, I like the beat where he kind of struggles to remember what his job was. How was your job at the laundromat? Was it?
Yeah. He's a good counselor.
He is.
You know, yeah. you know, for the stuff. Jesse, you know, it fucking sucks. He says. And then he wants to confess. This is the first time he's talked to anybody other than Walt.
Yes.
About this. And he does the masquerade. You know, he's like, a couple of weeks back, I killed a dog. You know, and everybody, you know, assumes that he, you know, the way that you normally kill a pet,
yeah.
you had to put it down, you know, you had to put the dog down, and people are like, oh, you know, you did the right thing. He was suffering. and Jesse has to be like, no, this dog didn't do anything wrong. He wasn't suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't being merciful. He was a problem dog. And yeah. I love that phrase. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that we're back to Bit by a Dead Bee titling.
Yes.
You know, as opposed to like double meaning,
yeah,
you know, through this, like, that's just a really great kind of folksy,
mm-hmm.
You know, kind of Vince Gilligan sounding thing, like, yeah. oh, a problem dog. It just makes inherent sense.
Yeah.
And it has a poetic kind of beauty to it that isn't just clever literary trick bullshit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, Jesse struggling here is so effective. Right.
Yeah.
Because he cannot admit to what he did. And there is no direct analogy for it. Like, you know, he's finding that he cannot speak to this sin actually
yep.
in a way that gets him what he needs, which is, you know, catharsis, actually getting this off of himself. You know, because any euphemism he comes up with, you know, is inherently more justifiable than what he did. Right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. You know, mm-hmm. A biker guy is like, oh man, when you're on the meth, you don't control yourself. He's yeah. like, I wasn't on meth, you know, mm-hmm. As these excuses fall away, the counselor asks how I feel, you know, how do you feel about what you did? And a woman is like, he should feel fucking awful.
Yeah.
You know, you don't kill a dog. This is one of those very true things. You and I have talked about this recently on a podcast, like, animals cut straight to your heart.
Yeah.
As a thing, you know, these are people who have all presumably done pretty horrible things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is a space specifically not to judge each other. Like
yeah.
anybody in this ring could talk about, you know, stealing everything their parents own
yeah.
for addiction and people wouldn't judge. But this is a bridge too far, you know?
Yeah.
People are really calling him out. The counselor stops him. He's like, we don't judge here. And Jesse goes, maybe she's right. Maybe I should be judged.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And he's having this like great, like existential, what Jesse craves in the show and what Jesse gets, you know, you look at the three protagonists of these two shows and what they ultimately, the justice they receive.
Yes.
In some way, right? Jesse is craving punishment
mm-hmm.
for what he did. There needs to be a balance of the scales.
Yeah.
Walt never craves that.
Nope.
You know, it's certain times he kind of does, but he ultimately, you know, he didn't expect to die. mm-hmm. when he dies.
No.
You know, that was a stray. Literally. He does something good at the very last minute. It's this tiny little glimmer. And then you look at Saul at the end of that series. It took him, he was in denial longer than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he lived a whole other life and then eventually was like, no, I will be punished within the system.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse, who hates himself more than either of those characters do, mm-hmm. ends up being punished worse than either of them.
No.
Like Jesse becoming a meth slave in this thing and just absolutely put through the fucking ringer. And to him, that is what he wants.
Yes.
He needs to be hurt commensurate with what he did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. if we're the universe to make sense.
Yeah. And that inability to carry around that injustice, you know, yeah. is what makes him ultimately, you know, of the protagonist, the best person in well, my
there's
mind.
No,
yeah, there's no doubt about it. Yeah.
Well, then there's no, it's no coincidence that he gets in when they do the Breaking Bad cameos in Better Call Saul. He's the one who shares a scene with Kim, right?
Yes.
Like that's also Kim.
Mm-hmm.
She cannot handle, she does not carry the injustice.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
You know, he says, you know, if you just do stuff and nothing happens, what's it mean? What's the point? You know, the counselor starts saying like, you know, hey, you know, you've got to accept yourself. What can you do? And Jesse's like, that doesn't make any sense. You killed your daughter. You know, what is going on? Are you okay with that? You know, he's mm-hmm. trying to find where the line is.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
if you're going to forgive yourself for this, why not just forgive yourself for this and this and this? And then there's no meaning to your actions because everything is just consequence free.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't necessarily like agree with this philosophically,
mm-hmm.
you know, like I you do have to wake up the next mm-hmm. day. Self-forgiveness is important.
Yes.
Right. As a concept, he's taking it to this kind of extreme, but it makes so much organic sense how he got here.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a good place for him to be now.
Yeah.
Like I really love this beat. This is a great, great, great scene. Like maybe top 10 in the series for me.
Oh yeah. I mean, and, you know, and in recap, it does not get, you know, you don't get the benefit of Aaron Paul's performance here.
Yes.
Like it is so spittily. Yeah. You know, like his face is like red, raw and swollen from it. Like he's barely containing this. And this is one of like the better acts of improvisation at a character level, right? Because he can't confess to killing yep. Gale, this thing that is chewing him up, but he can burn this bridge. He can confess to something that is also, you know, in the running for some of the most terrible stuff he's done. You know, he could say, you know, you're nothing to me but customers. I'm here to sell you meth. That's the point. Yeah. I made you my bitch. Are you okay with that? Do you accept?
Yeah. And the counselor has no choice but to be, no,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't accept that. And Jesse just says about time and storms out.
Yeah. He got the condemnation, not for the right thing, but he got it.
There's a deleted scene where the biker holds up one finger and goes, check please. And I'm really glad they cut it. that was awkward.
Yeah.
They all shake off the sillies and get back to the meeting.
Walt's old student's like, I'll have what he's having.
I'm really glad they cut all that stuff out.
Yeah.
there's a real quick throwaway scene. Of Walt and Jesse cleaning the lab. Walt calls him over under a pretext of inspecting a vessel for, you know, residue, and just ask about the update with Gus. And Jesse lies and says he hasn't seen him.
Right. You
know? At this point, he's decided not to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we get another real fun scene.
Yeah.
Here.
This is Hank. Great. Hank, over the course of one episode, has graduated from a walker to a cane. One of those four poster canes, but still a cane.
Yeah.
And Marie is, you know, there to help him in, but he's getting in under his own steam. He is returning to the DEA.
Yeah, the more purpose he has, you know, because he has this thing in the back pocket, because that fingerprint was a match, he heals a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's very Planescape.
Yeah.
Like the belief is what heals him.
Yeah.
So he gets in there. Gomez, good to see Gomi, mm-hmm. shows up. He razzes Gomi about his new facial hair. And they have a meeting with ASAC.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, listen, I just wanted to throw this across your bow. Like they're both, they think this is like a meet and greet. Like they're happy to see him.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I have, you know, here's a business, you know, this is business stuff. You know, my buddy mm-hmm. who's in homicide, killed this guy, Gale Bedeker. You know, I think he was the guy who made the blue meth and a possible link to this Heisenberg.
Yeah.
You know?
And so he pulls out his evidence. He shows the work that he's been doing. He pulls out this scan of the Poyos napkin that was found at the scene that has that big string of numbers on it. You know, he looked it up. It is parts for an industrial HEPA filter. You know, it would be great for like a chemistry lab or, you know, like a medicine manufacturer for making microchips or, you know, for the largest meth lab on the West Coast. And it is manufactured by this company called Madrigal Electromotive. You know, previously only seen in the fine print when we saw the Poyos Hermanos commercial.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, one of them was shipped to a laundromat in Albuquerque, but nobody signed for it or paid for it, which is weird. Mm-hmm. He called the, you know, Madrigal's in Germany, but he called the local branch and got some information. But then when he called back, that person disappeared.
Yes.
You know, and they got put on the phone with a lawyer. He did some digging. It turns out that they mostly do, you know, electromotive, but they have a fast food division, including Poyos.
Yeah.
He's like, I think that Gus was meeting or Gail was meeting Gus at Poyos. Who is this Gus Fring guy? We don't know anything about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe he's hiding in plain sight. And he gets his like his moment here because ASAC and Gomi like, this is a stretch, you know, and he absolutely Columbos this shit. Like, oh, yeah, that, you know, that makes sense. This is kind of a stretch. However, you know, and pulls out the fingerprint analysis.
Yep.
Gus's prints are all over Gail's apartment.
Oops.
Why would that be?
Yeah.
Fucking great. Like, man, that's fun. The way that you, the show, the way that it develops drama by having so many multiple fronts of interested parties, like nobody is fighting a war on one front.
No.
And it just is so smart. Like I've been thinking about getting back into like running a gun, you know, dungeon mastering again, like running into a tabletop game and trying to think of how to elevate like plots and stuff they come up with. And it's very difficult to do that because you have players and it's different. But trying to think about stuff like this, where like there are dramatic possibilities because everyone is fighting a war on multiple fronts and against themselves and everyone's doing it. Like there are no characters who are one dimensional in this show.
No, you know,
everybody is defending themselves and defining themselves against so many different whetstones that you just end up with like incredible character work.
No.
You know, it's really fucking masterful. I'm starting to think this is a good show.
You know, I think we should podcast about it some more.
Yeah. It took four seasons, but I'm starting to think this is pretty good.
Folks, we're finally here. Show. Yeah.
Yeah. We made it. We determined.
And, you know, as vigilant as Gus is, right. You know, Gail's house, you know, Gail in all of these ways is below suspicion, right?
Yes.
Why should he think, you know, even in hindsight that his fingerprints are at this place?
Gus.
Gail's fingerprints are all over it too. Yeah, because it's his house. Yeah, but Gus is there. Why would Gus suspect that being there, you know, even just for that one conversation to ask if he's ready to do Walt's cook alone, you know, that would come back to bite him. You know, he's fighting too many wars on too many fronts, you know.
Because he wants it all, right?
Yes.
Like he needs to be, and we're going to find out. I love the way this is structured. Season four of the show is so fucking good.
Yeah.
The next episode we're going to see, this is a strategic mistake, right?
Yes.
So like Gus needs Walt. He doesn't need him forever, right? Like he could work on a new person or assign a new partner to him. He's working on getting Jesse up to speed, ultimately, things like that. The cartel wants Walt.
Mm-hmm.
He can't do that though, because he fucking hates them.
Yes.
Like he is a master strategist, but it is not enough to just gain this independence or just do what Mike does and keep his head down and make money and do what he's told. In a weird way, it makes him this like really great foil for Walt. He's so much better at the game than Walt, but he also has this ambition, you know, and this petty want, you know, it's not petty. It's very justified revenge and it's an unalloyed good to kill the Salamancas, but he has this want that is interfering with his strategic mind the same way that happens with Walt.
Yeah. You know, and that vendetta that he has carried over all these years, you know, is the thing that gets him in the end. Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like incredibly, incredibly inspiring, like storytelling. I think it's really good.
When you set out to get revenge on a Salamanca, dig at least a few dozen graves.
Yeah. dig the grave for the family, you know, get it, do it family style.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thank you so much. If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv, kick us a few bucks a month, get a bunch of bonus content, but make sure that we can continue doing stuff like this.
Yes. Yeah. We appreciate it. Shows like this don't necessarily bring in the numbers, but if you like it, we like doing it. So help us keep the lights on.
Please
help
do.
Us keep, you know, justifying it. Yeah. That sounds darker than, you know, we like doing it, you know, but make it make sense.
Yeah.
We're here to kill the Salamancas, but also give us some meth money.
Please.
We have the personal lot. You can also rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, and YouTube Music now. Our shows are there. So the new platform, get those likes and stuff out, please.
Please.
This is all Cole. I didn't have to do any work, but it was a huge pain in the ass. Make that worth it as well.
Yeah,
it can't be all for nothing.
Please. Google's not great at supporting products, everybody.
Yeah, it turns out. So we'd really appreciate it if you did that. The other thing you can do is join us in thanking our producer, Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also composed our theme song.
Absolutely. Yeah. And until next time, I don't know, man.
You know, love your dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. Love, scratch your dog.
Yeah. Give Gail a scratch.
Yeah.